silver and gold, silver and gold. Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth? Just by the pleasure it gives here on earth.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. And now, here is your host, Brian Kilby.
And you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron this week. Sorry for being late. But I had some breaking news that I had to get into, and just been busy and sick again, as you may be able to tell. And the breaking news is from Mott Boy. He's not gay. And he's moving to Canada due to the certification of George W. Bush. Personally, I am rather pleased. Not just because, you know, I voted for Bush, but the fact that this whole mess will hopefully soon end, whoever becomes president. You know, I don't care if it's Pat Buchanan or Cheetor, you know, just let it end. But there's the breaking news. On the show this week, we don't have, well, we have, you know, some interesting stuff, but I didn't get a chance to do much in the way of regular segments such as trivia. There's no trivia this week due to some computer problems this week, and also there won't be news from Cybertron, unfortunately, due to the same computer problems. But we will have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna, Ask RFC by Mop Boy, a review of Inferno by Goldimus Prime, and we'll also have Bad Poets Corner. And now let's start things off this week with the ATT Buzz.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the internet.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz. And well, nothing happened this week on ATT. Nothing. In fact, I think this was the all-time worst week I've ever seen on this news group because no Transformer news happened and nobody was talking about anything, probably because of Thanksgiving holiday. But that's no excuse. Come on, I mean, the day after Thanksgiving is the biggest shopping day of the year, and well, I personally went out and shopped around for Transformers and I braved the crowds. I went to Kmart and battled the hordes of white trash, and I came away with the only Black Arachnia and Thrust Beast Machine toys in the entire town. And I'm very proud of that, considering that I just now got into Beast Machine collecting, and well, those two toys are pretty scarce currently. They've come and they've gone. And since nothing happened on ATT this week, I will spend most of the ATT Buzz talking about my own toy experiences over the past week and a half because, well, that's the best way to kill time. The only thing toy-related that I can think of that happened on ATT this week was the release of the Clear Godfire Convoy gift set in Japan. It came out on November 23rd. It should be getting here within a week from then. I personally will be getting one, and I personally know that I'm going to be vastly disappointed with this thing because the only reason I basically bought it was for two reasons. One, so I could have Godfire Convoy in Godfire Convoy mode, and at the same time have God Magnus and Superfire Convoy displayed. I would have all three of them displayed at the same time, at the same moment. And the second, of course, is the sword. Now, here's the problem with that gift set. It looks like neither one of those reasons that I stated are going to be met because, well, I knew going into this that Clear Super Godfire Convoy, whatever, was going to have clear plastic parts, which I hate. I understand because he's a variant, he's a special edition, so he's got to look different, so they picked clear plastic instead of just basic recoloring. I hate clear plastic. It looks cheap. It looks awful. And to make matters worse, they changed the silver plastic of Fire Convoy's ladder to white plastic, which is even worse than the actual clear colored plastic. I mean, white plastic looks terrible. Second of all, the sword is cheap. The hilt of the sword bends and twists, and it's like made out of Play-Doh. It's terrible. I mean, it's like super low quality. In fact, the whole gift set reeks of low quality, which is not surprising. Takara is pretty much packing it in as far as Transformers and their whole toy line. So, you know, you get what you expect. You get what you deserve, I guess. I shelled out $130, and I'm getting basically a toy that's worth less than the two original toys that it combines, is comprised of, including the cheap sword. But moving on to something a little better, Beast Machines, which I recently got into, like I said, and the last few acquisitions I've gotten have been pretty much tremendous, except for one glaring exception, and I'll get into that later. But first, the good stuff. Beast Machine Black Arachnia is great. Like I said, I got her the day after Thanksgiving on Friday, and she's tremendous. I only open one Transformer a day as a rule so I can truly enjoy the toy, so I can evaluate the toy, because I'm the kind of collector that gets the toy, opens the toy that first time, carefully examines it for at least half an hour in beast mode or whatever mode it came in. I transform it, look it over a little bit more, keep it in robot mode, display it, and that's pretty much the end of it. I doubt I'll touch a toy maybe twice a month. I mean, it stays in a display with the rest of the toys, because for me personally, my enjoyment of my Transformers I get from just looking at the display. I don't have to play with them. I don't have to fiddle with them really every day to get a full enjoyment or appreciation out of them. Personally, I just like looking at the display. But back to the toy. Black Arachnia, tremendous. I mean, she's the best by far Black Arachnia toy I think we've ever gotten. The first Black Arachnia toy, which was the repainted repainted Tarantulas, was fat and ugly, okay? She wasn't a girl. I mean, she was just a fat, ugly spider. It looked good as Tarantulas. It looked bad as Black Arachnia. Because, well, wasn't her. And it didn't help that the show CGI model looked great. And as far as Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia goes, she was okay, but she was a little too big. She was a little too bulky. She had too much kibble for a Hasbro-type toy. I mean, if she came out of Takara's kibblicious approach to Transformers, I could deal with it, but her massive shoulder pads, her spider legs sticking out every which way, it just didn't jive with me, and she was too big, and her karate kicking gimmick just didn't work for me. It almost ruined the toy to me. Now, Beast Machine Black Arachnia, on the other hand, is nice, especially for a deluxe. She's big. She's almost as tall, if not a little bit taller at the head, than Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia, who's a mega. So she's a good value as far as size. As far as the actual toy itself, it's great. It's simplistic, but it's well done. The gimmicks with the moving face on the spider mode, in robot mode, she has no gimmicks besides the head cover with the hideous eyes that they show on the TV show. But at least in toy form, it doesn't really bother her that much. It actually looks good. It actually adds to her head, even though it makes, with the gimmick, her head a touch big in robot mode. I'd rather have a head that's as big as hers than the pinheads we get in most Transformer toys. Now, the second toy that has really jumped out at me over the past couple days or so of me getting into Beast Machines is Ultra Jetstorm. I like him. He seems to be a love or hate kind of toy. People love him, people hate him, and it's basically pretty much for the same reasons. He's big and huge, and for somebody who likes size, that's a good thing. Like me, I enjoy a good-sized toy, especially for $20. For $20, you can't beat Ultra Jetstorm. He's as big, if not bigger, than Optimal Optimus, and that's a good thing to me. Now, it can be a bad thing because, well, when you have that kind of size, you trade in quality and durability because, frankly, he feels cheap, especially from the waist down. His legs feel hollow. I mean, they almost have no weight to them at all, but I can deal with that, especially when you consider he's electronic, he's huge, he's massive. I like his proportions. He's not as bulky as Optimal Optimus. He looks better for it. He looks more like a robot instead of this big, massive hunk of transmetal mess that Optimal Optimus tends to look like, to me, anyway. Also, he comes with batteries, which is a plus. I mean, he's electronic, he comes out of the box, and he works, and he uses little tiny watch batteries instead of big honkin' AAAs, so they can afford to throw in a few extra batteries, which is nice. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, out of all the Beast Machine toys I've gotten, and since, in the past week, 2 weeks, I've gotten quite a few, about 8 or so. There's only been one that I have not liked. And in fact, not only do I not like him, I dislike the toy. I really don't like the toy. And that toy is Mega Megatron. Okay? I hate this toy. And I know most people hate this toy. I know most people have heard plenty about Mega Megatron. But hear me out. This is my time. You're here to listen to me, and I'm going to say it right now. Mega Megatron is awful. He's terrible. I don't like him at all. In fact, I'm shocked at the level I don't like him. When I bought him, I thought he was a pretty decent toy. I saw the Beast Mode. I took him out, and he's in Beast Mode, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, hey, he's not that bad. He's not that small. I mean, he does look like kind of a puny Mega, but not too bad. I mean, the toy looks fun, it's pretty, it's colored well, the wings look like wings to me when they're positioned right, but, you know, he didn't look like that big of a ripoff, not like what I had heard, but I was wrong. Silly me. When you transform him into robot mode, he shrinks. He's like half as big as you'd think he was, based on the Dragon Mode, and I know lots of Transformers, if not most, shrink, or at least change in size a great deal when they change modes, but this guy's pathetic. I mean, he is tiny. He looks, in robot mode, when you take away the wings, he almost looks like a glorified basic. Not even a deluxe. I mean, with the wings, yeah, he looks like a glorified deluxe. Without it, he looks like a glorified basic. And he's neither. He's a mega. He's a ripoff. He's not worth $15. He's a $11, $12 toy tops. I'm just really disappointed with him. I keep him in cloak mode. I keep him behind Scavenger, next to Blast Charge, who looks like he could kill him with one swipe of his bongo sticks. And to close up the buzz this week, a few general quick news bites, a little collection of quick takes I had. First, it seems that the Black Fire Convoy that everybody raved about a couple months ago, that was a contest prize, it's been dished out. It's been shipped to winners. We haven't seen one on eBay yet. I'm surprised about that, frankly. But it also turns out, even though Car Robots is going to die at the end of this year, that's not the last contest prize for a Car Robot mold, which is shocking. Or not. The next and hopefully last Car Robots contest prize is going to be a repaint of Devil Gigatron, who is a repaint of Gigatron. Now, God knows what color they're going to make Gigatron, but this is going to be the third Gigatron toy. Of course, it's going to be a contest prize. That means almost every toy that's been released that's a new mold for Car Robots has been, in one form of another or another, an exclusive repaint. Not just a repaint, an exclusive repaint, a contest prize, a store giveaway, whatever. That toy line has killed my enjoyment of Japanese Transformers, and frankly, I'm glad that this is the end, at least for now, for Japanese Transformer lines. Now, as far as that goes, personally, I am a little suspicious of that, and I think a good theory that I've seen floated around is, in fact, that this isn't the end of Transformers in Japan at all. It's just Takara's way of stalling until they can get all the Beast Machine toys under their belt and then release them as a group of Transformers, instead of just throwing them out piece by piece like they had to do with the metals. It would be easier for them to have the entire line under their belt, ready to go, so they can do and release it how they please, because the Beast Machine line has gone strong for a long time. It's going to be one of the biggest lines ever when it's all done and said and done with. In fact, I think this year in Transformers has been one of the biggest as far as numbers of toy releases just in this country alone. Then you add in Car Robots, and it's probably been the biggest, if not the biggest, certainly one of the best as far as variety goes in terms of Transformer years. It's been a great year. And finally, on the ATT Buzz this week, because I'm feeling frisky, a G1 retro review. Okay, here we go. This one's going to be on G1 Grimlock. Okay, I love this guy. This guy was my favorite Autobot, Dinobot, actually. I only had 3 total when I was a kid. Grimlock, Swoop, and Slag. Slag was terrible, okay? He was god-awful. He had a foot. He had a leg. That was my main beef with most G1 toys of that ilk. When they have a foot, a leg, like Wheeljack. Okay, don't fool me, buddy. I mean, just because you've got this, like, little gap of air between your big, massive stub doesn't mean you have two legs. You've got a leg. You've got a foot. I mean, it's sad. It's as bad as Ultra Magnus. Ultra Magnus didn't even have any space between there to make you think for an instant he had two legs. He just had this big stomping thing from his waist down. A foot, a leg. Anyway, let's go. G1 Grimlock. You know, he's got box art that's pretty legendary. I think most people will instantly recognize the box art when they see it. It's one of those that always ended up on underwear, on bras, well, trainer bras, and, you know, things like bed covers, party favors, things like that. Although I do find it interesting that Thundercracker was the only Transformer that got party favors that had noisemakers and things like that. Kind of ironic, kind of accurate, kind of slick if you think about it. Also, let's move to the back on his tech spec. Of course, his function is Dinobot Commander, I guess. You can call him that. Or you can just call him the least stupid of the five. His motto is like every other G1 motto in the fact that it's like twice as intelligent and twice as articulate as you could ever imagine these characters being. Take note of Grimlock, unless you're talking about comic Grimlock, and even then, only for like an instant, was he smart enough to spew this. Quote, among the winners, there is no room for the weak. Ah, but I guess there's plenty of room for the stupid, because Grimlock is just that. I mean, that makes no sense for the character. I mean, this says he's the most fearsome and powerful Dinobot. Okay, I buy that. Although dedicated to the Dinobot, to the Autobot cause, resents authority. I can buy that, too. I don't get it when people say these tech specs had nothing to do with the Transformer cartoon, because it's painfully obvious that they did. I mean, if you read the Transformer cartoon Bible, which I'm sure is out there in limited form, it's pretty obvious that the Bible and the tech specs were written, if not simultaneously, they were written in cooperation with each other. It's obvious. Lots of those are almost word for word with each other. He has contempt for the weak, including all humans. He has great strength, using jaws to break almost anything in two. He carries an Energo sword and a galaxial rocket launcher in Dinobot mode. What Dinobot mode is, I have no idea. I know he turns into a robot and a dinosaur. Dinobot mode, I don't know. Other than arrogance and lack of speed and, as I might add, lack of intelligence, he has no real weaknesses. Well, fat oatmeal cookies, I guess. Moving on to the toy. The toy's cool. I like the Dinobot aesthetic. I like their design, even though all five of them, well, except for Swoop, basically transform and look exactly the same. I mean, their chest opens up and become wings on the back of their robot mode. Their feet transform about the same, except for Slag, who's a piece of crap with his legs. Grimlock looks a bit squatty when you transform him. He's got way too many stickers. That's one thing I don't like about early G1 toys, is that they had like 50 stickers and only like 3 of them actually added to the look of the toy. The rest of them were just there. I mean, it took me like, I got this toy like 2 years ago, so we're looking at a 19-year-old kid with some tweezers putting on these stickers as well and as accurately as he possibly could, and I still took me like over half an hour to put these things on right. How do you expect a 5-year-old to have the attention span to put on 20 stickers, and second of all, to get them all straight? It's impossible. It's dumb. Oh, and also, beautifully, the instructions are wrong as far as where they tell you to put that Autobot symbol sticker. They tell you to put it on his chest, but it doesn't fit on his chest, and even if you do jam it right there on his chest, it gets all wrinkled and nasty looking. It's pretty plainly obvious that his Autobot sticker goes on top of his chest, right in front of his head. It fits perfectly there. The box art says it's there. That's where it goes. Now, as far as Dinobot mode goes, dinosaur mode, it's good too. All the Dinobots had good dinosaur modes. They all look pretty good, and their color scheme of gray and gold chrome is nice. It's pretty. It's not jarring. It's robotic looking. At the same time, it's almost lifelike. I guess if you consider it, it's not too bad, not too gaudy. Unlike the G2 Dinobots, which turned green, turquoise, and blue, they're magically delicious. Also, as far as articulation goes, Grimlock wasn't bad. He can even stand, although he was made in like the early 80s before the popular version of the Tyrannosaurus Rex goes with the tail-dragging method of Tyrannosaurus walking around was dropped in favor of the probably more accurate, probably true interpretation of Tyrannosaurus Rex walking and running with his tail stuck in midair as a balancing beam. He can do it either way, and he looks alright either way, which is a good thing and a testament to how well this toy was designed. So overall, I would say Grimlock is worth it. If you're going to shell out, I guess I'd say $75 tops for a mitten box Grimlock, go for it. For a loose Grimlock, I don't know, $30, $40 tops. Anyway, he's a definite buy. And that's the ATT Buzz. And I'm John DeLuna.
And thank you there, John. Personally, I like Grimlock okay. You know, he's looking at him right now. He's actually sort of looking back at me, so that's kind of cool, actually. Hey, I'm actually chatting in RFC at the moment. Let me say hi to Unicron Q. This is very surreal. Must be the cold medication. Okay. Now, back to RFC. We'll have now Goldimus Prime with a review of Inferno.
Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Goldimus Prime. I'm reviewing the Beast Wars toy Inferno this week, which I got a little while back at KB while I was out of town. Got it for $6. Gotta love KB markdowns and coupons. Anyway, Inferno is a fire ant. Well, everybody knows that. I'm going to make this a short review, by the way, because I doubt people want to listen to a review about a four-year-old toy. So, Inferno's an ant. He's mostly translucent red and it looks like a faded red color plastic. He's also got some green patterns on his back. His abdomen in beast mode is very neat because it's translucent, but the interior is painted silver, and it's molded like mechanical parts. So it's like you're looking through his chitin. I think that's what they call the stuff ant bodies are made of. It looks like you're looking through that and seeing the robot bits inside. Transformation to robot mode is about what you'd expect for that era of Beast Transformer. Robot mode is big. He's a little bit taller than Transmetal Megatron, maybe 6.5-7 inches. His gun is made from part of his ant head. It's got two possible ways to form it. The gray firing mechanism can be held as its own machine gun-like weapon, and the translucent red part that comes from the ant head, which has the mandibles and stuff, can be like a grabber claw. Or you can put them together and make something slightly resembling the weapon he had on the show. His rear legs detach and stick in the gun to fire his missiles. They fire pretty darn strong, I'll tell you. Overall, Inferno is a neat toy, especially given from what time period he came from. Pardon that feedback. And well, he's not worth the 30 plus that you normally see him for on eBay, but for retail or under, he's a neat toy. I'm going to give Inferno a 7.5 out of 10. This is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron.
And thank you, Goldie, you handsome, handsome man. Did I just say that? It is the cold medication. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron, we have the ATT Buzz. We have Ask RFC.
Cut myself into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy here. Thanksgiving has passed, and, well, I've had a pretty big meal. I've eaten plenty of turkeys, so while I'm letting my dinner digest, we're gonna read some mail that we've gotten recently.
The views and opinions of Mop Boy do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Cybertron, nor anyone else for that matter.
Here's the first letter for this week. Mop Boy, you really blow. I wish someone would come and give you what you deserve, you loser. Sign, Yo Mother is a Hoe.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run.
Thanks, Ho. I really appreciate your support, and I hope someone comes to give a loser like me what I deserve, too. I'll be wishing the same to you. The next letter reads, Mop Boy, you're a dick. I don't see why I should listen to you every week. Why don't you come here and suck my... Sincerely, John's butt. Hey, thanks for the letter, John. I don't work as an investigator, but thanks for showing me what I'm capable of. You really should listen to the show, because you never know what Radio Free Cybertron might cook up for your entertainment. And as I do care for my fans, I think you should be careful of the ASPCA, because you may be doing improper things with your rooster. This week's last letter says, Mop Boy, I hate you. I really think you suck. Why the hell did RFC ever decide to let you on their show? Were they desperate for morons to listen to their show, or did they just feel sorry for you? Since all you do all day is sit on IRC and vegetate, whatever the reason, I hope you die. From Goldimus. P.S. Don't read this on your Ask RFC segment. Thanks.
But no. I'm just kidding you, Alex.
You know, I really think people are starting to enjoy my show.
Mop, those emails are from people who don't like you.
Well, I'm sure they'll warm up to me on future segments.
As a matter of fact, I think this is your last Ask RFC.
Well, how about we continue my segment until you're sure you're...
Actually, I'm pretty sure of it.
I guess that's it for this week, then. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood mop boy saying...
Okay, that was Mop Boy, sort of. And coming up now, we have Bad Poets Corner. Today's poem is called Jetfire. Flying through the air, having not a single care, his name is Jetfire, or, Skyfire. Lost in the Arctic Sea, who could it be? His name is Jetfire, or, Skyfire. Autobot or Decepticon, darn it, decide on one, Jetfire, or, Skyfire. That was Radio Free Cybertron this week. A wild and crazy week, was it not? Oh no, I better not pay attention to the screen again. I'm still in RFC. I'm down at, if you get a chance to drop by there. It's not very active most of the time because we don't really use it anymore for anything other than just goofing off. But it makes doing the show difficult while trying to chat. But, you know, that's multitasking for you. And like I said, that's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. Tune in next week and hopefully, you know, I won't sound like I'm on some sort of strange drug.
Silver and gold, everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth? Just by the pleasure it gives here on earth. Silver and gold means so much more when I see silver and gold decorations on every Christmas tree. Silver and gold means so much more when I see silver and gold decorations on every Christmas.